but it, I know, so we've had a couple of conversations so far as the subcommittee, one really with, you know, the majority of the subcommittee present, talking broadly about incentives and subsidies. We had a call yesterday with just a couple of us on that further, you know, I guess, expanded on that topic. But before we maybe pick up where we left off with those calls, maybe we could just go around the room and reflect on what we heard out of this morning's presentations, both, I think especially on the data side. But I think the questions were insightful. Some of the answers also helpful. Isaac, anything that you heard that you want this group to pick up on or explore further, or anything that surprised you or questions that you're left with?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by the, as Gwen was, by the behind the meter solar numbers and how quickly they are increasing. I was looking for, and again, I'm not a utility technical person, but I'm surprised that we don't have great data yet on like price by generation source, kind of the line of questioning that Duff and Jen had. It's hard, like, if, you know, from an investment perspective, how do we know what we're investing in, or how do we know how we're doing if we can't accurately get down to a little bit more of a granular level on what the different costs of generation are in the Brailleville or across Alaska. So that was just a thing that I'm surprised being a bit of a neophyte in this technical space. It just seems like that would be a foundational or kind of like a baseline thing that we would have access to. But again, I may be showing my experience there. I also think, interesting, something that jumped out at me was the, considering a small tax for heating data as a way to gather some of that information. It's a really interesting idea that I thought this group should look at as a potential action. That was really interesting idea that kind of posted stamp versus PPE conversation that Gwen was referencing there in DC. British Hydro, not British, DC Hydro, used that posted stamp rate and, just like learn more about how that may be an alternative to the PPE and that's where going into this subcommittee. Yeah, and I think those things jumped out at me overall. I also just think, like, you know, we are, as Alaskans, paying more for energy over the course of four decades. It's not a whole lot of variability until just recently in the sources of generation. Not a whole lot of, like, really interesting changes over the course of the last four decades. And yet, what we paid is just kind of steadily ticked up over time. Which, if you step back, tells me that we are headed in the wrong direction, probably, and we need to, I think everyone's aware of that, think about some structural changes to the way we produce and consume our energy. That's what it said to me, but I may be jumping ahead there a little bit. Those broad strokes, which kind of broad themes of some of the sources of generation over time and more and more over time. I think this group was identified pretty early on in their brains, so pretty profound changes, not on the margins, but some pretty fundamental changes to our approach here if you ever want to get close to that 10-cent power that the governor has tasked us with. So, yeah, some thoughts there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Penny?
You're
deputized, but you have to talk now.
I had to pop out for one of our meetings at this point, but I think some of the gaps were interesting in terms of that Isaac mobilized around behind the meter, looking at thinking about community solar, infrastructure solar, and equity. I mean, in terms of this group for incentives and subsidies, there wasn't a ton that jumped out with the lens of this subcommittee on it for me in the morning's conversations.
just to kind of build off of something that you said, you know, that had pretty deep, one thing that Sonny said that, you know, kind of speaks to that is almost generational equity. You said we're going to be building stuff that, you know, will benefit our kids and not us. We'll be paying for that. So, I mean, that could be the role, finding, you know, the, through this subcommittee, how do you deal with that programmatically on the financing side?
Mm. Yeah. Good point.
Well, I'm just thinking about what, kind of like what we want to be incentivizing and subsidizing and looking at some affordable power being one, and PCE is that large program, of course, but there were also a lot of charts around emissions today and sources of emissions and thinking about all the different levers that we have and whatnot. That feels like something out of this committee, subcommittee as well, so the thought leadership around what we want to be incentivizing and subsidizing and what we have the power to reduce or increase.
Yeah. Something spot on what Tony said that he recalled there, Michael. A question I have is, it seems like we're all jumping to, or we're all assuming that to get to those technologies that we're talking about, like heat pumps and EVs and, you know, induction stoves and electric hot water heaters and some of these technologies that we know are coming down the pipe, people jump to, we got to upgrade our poles and wires and our substations and our transformers and those massive investments. I'm not hearing a lot of conversation yet about how do we actually use some of those demand side resources that are app enabled and can be, you know, aggregated as a resource for the utility so that we don't have to do so much upgrading of our poles and wires. And how can we use those within a neighborhood? You know, think about tapping people's hot water heaters and their Teslas as a source of storage so that we don't have to have build a bunch of storage, you know, 30 miles away and build a bunch of transmission substations to get into that neighborhood. Like, how do we start thinking about, you know, quote unquote virtual power plants and some of those app-enabled technologies? I don't think that's really a part of the conversation yet, but those technologies are coming, and those should be resources to help utilities deliver the services that people want in their homes or in their businesses. And is there a conversation happening about that yet? And because I do think for this group, as we think about we're in the current system right now, but then there's another system that we're trying to get to that's different. Given the current system, like, we need to think about that future state and be having a conversation about what incentives and subsidies so that we can maybe not spend so much money, maybe have better outcomes. And, I just don't hear any conversation about that yet. I guess I'm wondering what that is.
Yeah, I can give you my take on that. We're trying to drive the car and build it at the same time through this process. And I think we're looking for the data. So we're at this expedited timeline to do this plan. And, you know, some of these long-term items are going to require that due diligence and that communication. So I could see those being included as options in the plan that we explore longer on a, you know, longer timeline. But what they're probably looking for at the end of this by like October, November, are those high priority actions the low-hanging fruit for the state legislature to take. That's not to jump to our agenda. That's probably what we have to recommend. And all of this, you know, all this other stuff that's more long-term, we'll have to work through all those issues.
So we are exactly on our agenda. Give me a break. We are following it exactly.
Yeah.
That was first thing is to talk about these things.
I missed this morning's presentation because I had another meeting I had to attend. But I mean, one thing I've noticed that's missing so far, and I've been trying to build it on AEA's website, is really like a public resource where people, consumers, can go and find out what rebates are available, what things are available to them. And right now the information is spread across like several websites. And I don't feel like, I mean, there's some, you know, energy efficiency rebates that are coming up. And I don't feel like we have that information put together
on how that's going to happen and sort of a public outreach plan, which we'll eventually need when that comes. But I do think there's a lot of funding that's coming for energy efficient rebates, electrification of your home, and part of it is just getting that information out to the public so they know it's going to be available and they're going to be able to act on it. So I do think, part of the, incentive and subsidy conversation, as well, obviously what benefits the utility, what can the state do, but also what information can we just get out to the public so they can begin to reduce their demand with what's available to them.
Karen, would you say, I know you did a good review of those rebates and credits and things, would you say at least at the federal level, is that sufficient? Is there enough of those types of options and it's just a question of getting people to utilize them? Are there gaps in what you have seen at the federal level for consumer credits or rebates?
I would say there are some gaps. The federal government just published the big, $8 billion rebate program that the funding will become available next year. They just published the information on that about a week ago. So I haven't read through the whole thing, but there are, caps on certain activities as far as what the rebate could be. There are some income criteria for some of the rebates. So I think there are some gaps where just because you can't get a refund or a rebate on the entire thing or you don't qualify because of your income level, people might not pursue it as quickly as some other people would.
Yeah. Is there... I know with a lot of this federal stuff, we're talking about navigators and technical assistance. Do you think is there a state level or a state or local role for helping people navigate through that morass of credits and rebates? Or how do we help more people access them?
On a total level, a high level, I don't know if there is. I do know we're currently looking at some funding for energy efficiency auditor training and things like that. And ultimately, the program will go through AHFC, so they have some knowledgeable people there. But I think when you look at the funding that will become available and the amount of staff that state agencies currently have, it wouldn't be, a navigator type of experience. It would be putting the information online and people would have to work through some things on their own. But there is some funding available, so it is something that we're working with AHFC on to kind of go through that application process and figure out an implementation plan. It's a lot of funding coming at once and there's just not enough staff to kind of, deal with people one-on-one.
Yeah. Okay. Isaac, to come back, I was glad that the postage stamp came up in this morning's conversation, postage stamp rate. Greenland does it, and basically, it's Nuuk, it's the popular residents of Nuuk who pay for a high cost in communities around Greenland. It's pretty, I think it's more common elsewhere. And it would be interesting to run those scenarios if everybody on the rail belt or, wherever paid 5 cents more per kilowatt hour and it resulted in a 30 cent per kilowatt hour reduction in the rest of the state. I don't know if those are the numbers, but that would be fascinating, to look at that. It kind of follows on, maybe not on the heating fuel, on the heating tax question, but if we taxed to subsidize, it would be the same as, increasing, adding to the cost of a kilowatt hour for a large portion of our consumers. So, I don't know. I think those would be interesting to at least learn more about and how that would look. I was also thinking about, what's that?
That's a spicy idea,
Nell. Oh, but that's what we're here for, right? We were asked to be bold.
Right, there's programs like CCE that are less, people aren't paying that out of pocket, I think legislators get fired up about it, but it's not, it's something you're paying for and you see it on your utility bill. there's more ownership perhaps, and you care about, you know, what that's going
yeah.
to do, but it's more controversial.
It's funny. I mean, it's doing that on the front end, makes things equitable or equal even in a state. When we're talking about subsidies, all we're talking about is somebody getting taxed, it going into a government, and it coming out of a government into somebody else's hands, right? And so all we're talking about with a postage stamp rate is everybody paying the same amount and not having, like, cutting out the middleman almost and removing the subsidy. So it could be argued that PCE isn't coming out of somebody's pocket, but it did when it was initially capitalized. And there's opportunity costs with, you know, leaving $1 billion out there. Could that $1 billion be, could you do something different with it? So I don't know that it's that crazy. It's just how do we move money around from whom and to whom. The other thing, just in thinking about other types of incentives, if it's true that there's lots at the federal level or there's maybe sufficient, you know, are there enough incentives at the state level? And the state doesn't have very many mechanisms for incentives because it doesn't tax, except it has a pretty robust corporate income tax, right? And is that something we should be looking at? Is there you could do a tax credit or rebate for corporate taxpayers for investments that they make in the energy projects. Would that, have we looked at that at all, or is that on our list? Or is it similarly a bad idea?
Well, that's my idea. But if this is being proposed to the legislature, and we all know a lot of the air gets sucked out of the room over because the focus is on revenue, like PFD, and just is there funding available for these new programs? So thinking about what the fiscal note would be for any of these programs and what actually adds to the state budget rather than takes away seems like where we should be focusing. And just to clarify, I missed the meeting yesterday, maybe it was discussed, how much are you guys wanting to focus on federal versus state in this conversation? Are we talking 50-50 about this work, or more on one end, or TBD based on what's been found by research?
I don't think Michael, it has been part of our scope, right? How have you thought about it?
Well, I mean, you are considering the federal in terms of the federal grants, the money's becoming available, but I guess what's in your control would be at the state level to change.
Okay. I mean, if we're producing a report to the legislature and governor, you're right. So it's at the state level that we're probably focused.
Well, if there are ways to further access federal programs that we're not already in, and then
right.
Things we can do at the state level, I mean, see.
Yeah.
I know you presented on that, too, the federal programs.
Yes. I mean, there are a good amount of federal programs, but it's not going to make up the difference. There's going to be gaps for individual consumers. I mean, I think there's a huge gap with commercial buildings. As far as energy efficiency goes, there's not a lot of rebates out for commercial buildings, especially when you compare it to what's coming out for, you know, residential homes. So I do think there's gaps there. I mean, and there are a lot of states that, you know, in addition to what's coming out federally already offer certain rebate programs through the state that are funded through taxes. So, I mean, there are other programs out there that states offer that we currently don't have in the state of Alaska.
Yeah. I feel like two resources we should all be aware of are the Desiree or desire.org. It has a great breakdown of all the rebates and incentives by state. And then Rewiring America is another great resource. It's just have in our you know, resource library here as a subcommittee, because that is a great overview of all of the incentives.
What's not offered in Alaska too, what's identified as a gap, I think.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Bill?
No, I was just thinking more, we talked yesterday about Andrew's comments related to PCE and how PCE doesn't apply to commercial. And that's, you know, it's part of, like, is there something that, you know, needs to be out there for businesses to leverage or access, which is how I got to a corporate income tax credit or rebate or something for, you know, for energy investments that are made. I guess my question, Isaac, would be, you know, would the private sector, would businesses respond better to a subsidy, to, you know, a grant of 50 to 80% or to a tax credit or rebate? Do they think of those things differently or one versus the other?
Does it matter? Other thoughts, Miriam, I certainly don't speak for everyone, but I think the, I think you get more adoption on the tax side. It would be easier to deploy. I think it's sometimes harder to just kind of market and publicize subsidies and make sure the folks are aware of that. Whereas, you know, as soon as you set up a tax break, you know, it gets rolled out through the armies of accountants and CPA firms. And
I think the key is they can plan for that, whereas the grants, if it's a competitive grant, it's
true.
Precisely what it takes.
Good point.
And I think for the state, to Penny's point, maybe, I mean, I think it should be a question for all of us. Like, is it, what's better for the state, to reduce its current revenue by $100 million or find new revenue? And where would $100 million more come from if we were to need it for a subsidy or other type of incentive? But I think that's, I don't know how it would respond one way versus, it probably wouldn't like either, right? As a state, but that's what we're here for, is trying to find ways to lower the cost of energy.
One thing that we talked about, and I do have some of the draft notes from yesterday that they're not finalized. I don't have to show this, but one thing was, the thing that came up during the regulations and statutes subcommittee, we talked about, Curtis is having them look at the emerging technology funds, kind of revisiting that statute. So I'm wondering if there's some overlap with that and kind of the discussions that you talked about earlier. And even I could see with some of the investments needed that Tony was talking about with the electric vehicles that winds up with federal funding. So there's like a two-pronged approach with that one.
Yeah, and I think, are we dancing around ACEs here a little bit too? Is that what you're talking about, Mills? Like, thinking about how ACEs is in its own way a bit of a incentive, because if we're making economic decisions for the state, we recognize that until there's other industries are taxed, until other new economic drivers or tax, that every additional, thing we build or employee working in the state is actually liabilities of the state. And so we need to think about how to redo our tax structure to make it so that other industries, like the state is excited about other industries. It gets excited about other projects. Because right now they really don't. They see anything else as just kind of a liability for the state, that they have to build more roads and maintain more schools and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that we want to dive too deep into that fund.
I know, but it is structural. Yeah.
It begs the question, at the very least.
At the energy security, or the energy security, the Governor's Sustainable Energy Conference this year, there was a really good speaker, and I wrote down the information. And he had been a consultant to the World Bank and other organizations, came from this global perspective, thinking about oil economies transitioning and ramping down subsidies is a huge part of that. You know, in most of those countries, they're subsidizing the price of gasoline or residential power or heating, and not not too unlike us in many ways, and there's some really interesting lessons to be learned from the Saudi Arabias of the world and the other countries and the World Bank that are making recommendations to these nation states to improve their credit ratings and their credit worthiness with the World Bank or other, you know, global banks that think have a lot of credibility with Alaska, especially, you know, we've had some good credit news this week, but it still feels like we're ever precarious. And there's been some concrete recommendations in there to think about new revenue and reducing reliance on fossil fuels. So I think that aligning some recommendations with something the legislature is already aware of seems really smart. But the other nugget was just talking with some folks in California about about rate designs and thinking about two gas redoing their rates in the coming year. And they have some interesting things that come out of some of the major utilities rates that go toward different funds. In California, there's one that's focused on energy innovation. And the funds from that are sort of administered by the AEA equivalent and go toward accelerators or incubators like Alaska Alaska or other entities. It's not popular to add money on to rates, you know, for any reason, but there's some interesting as we think about the rate design happening right now.
Yeah. Michael, lest you think we're not going according to agenda, we are right on track. We're talking about our top five actions or initiatives. That's where we are.
But just to be fair, you have full control over the agenda. Just an administrative question, though, for you.
Yeah.
Who's going to be present for the end of the meeting to kind of report out?
Got it.
You're not going to be around, right?
I'm not. No, I got to take off right after this. Isaac, you can report out on our wide range.
Yeah. We had moved this meeting to this morning because I have a calendar conflict.
All right.
And so, 2:30 to 3:30, my conflict.
Yeah, the report out started 3:15 to 4:30.
Yeah, so I'll go towards the end of that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm happy to share it. So I'm happy to do the report out.
And then before we leave, I can type up like the top five. We can talk about the other habits. So there's different ways we can present it. You can pull up the action tracking sheet, or you can just speak. It's informal.
Yeah.
And
happy to do that.
Yeah. And I don't know that we really have gotten to five, but I am looking at our action sheet. Our action worksheets, Michael, and our conversation tracks, right? That, you know, when it comes to the tax credit or tax incentives, you know, one of our committee members who talked about tax incentives, income tax exemption on revenue, private investment, new generation transmission, and then I think Michael Baker's research had highlighted free credits in the Utah State Energy Master Plan, high cost infrastructure tax credit, renewable energy systems tax credit, and production tax credit. So maybe if I could just throw that out there as kind of one on our list to explore what a state Alaska tax credit would look like. Consistent with or building off of some of those other examples. It's a starting place, maybe. And then the second, so that would be kind of on the incentives side. And then for me on the subsidy side, maybe to build off the conversation that was had in regulatory and statutory regulations and statutes. We do have, the Renewable Energy Fund and Emerging Energy Tech Fund out there, one of them funded and one of them not. AMA has a resolution about funding, both more or sufficiently. I would support, probably a deeper dive into how to leverage those current investments opportunity, grant programs, I guess, which falls in the middle of incentive and subsidy maybe. So how to do more with what we've got, I guess is the question, and how to make sure they're sufficiently capitalized. And then I imagine that a third PCE has come up. I don't know that we have an answer or something new or different related to PCE to talk about right now. Except to maybe tie it to that postage stamp conversation. You know, are there, do we want to, yeah, maybe it's just kind of a question mark around PCE at this point. How to really maximize the benefits to achieve lower cost energy. Those are a couple thoughts if we want to get, because we need something on paper, right? To share with the group and keep us moving forward in the short term. Those are a couple things.
So, no, I think those are great. I guess to dig deeper though on some of those things, I mean, we obviously need more information, more research to get to a policy consideration and recommendation, taking legislative action. So I guess just, we may want to talk about that. Like, we don't have to have the answers for this meeting, but at least identify the limited resources. Is there, you know, existing things that we can look into? It's kind of down the industry's hand, what other states are doing. Do we need to reach out to, you know, any other state agencies, just as an example, who would be managing this, and just to get an understanding for some of these actions.
This came up yesterday, Isaac, didn't it? Karen, I think Curtis signed you up for... The question yesterday was, you know, what are all the current state investments into all energy programs? So not just AEA, but AHSC and DNR and DOT and others. You know, energy efficiency, conservation, weatherization, circuit riders, et cetera. Like that scan hasn't been done, but if it could be, then Michael, maybe we get to a place where we can, I think, maybe answer your question of how do we think about how the state's using its dollars currently, and is there a use that, if redirected, could lower the cost of energy? Is that what you were saying? I don't know. That's what I was thinking.
So it is. And then
but also, we did talk about that yesterday, Aaron. And it's on our list to do.
The other thing is we kind of identified two actions that are also being looked at by the Statutes and Regulations Subcommittee. So, I mean, having a meeting with them or kind of crossover coordination might be beneficial. And, you know, is that like a separate meeting? Is that just taken offline between co-chairs? That's just a question I have, too. How do you want to handle that?
They're
doing a similar exercise with us, so it's just early for them. They just identified that that's something they want to investigate. So,
which two are those? Oh, sorry.
The emerging energy. And then the PPE.
Okay, PPE.
Yeah, they actually had someone from the APA come and kind of see from policy issues, and that was kind of identified. It also was identified as the health on federal grants, they don't have a state match for local entities. So, I don't know how they would do that.
Well, I mean, I know some of the communities that submit applications for the REST program intend to use a REST grant as a match, which we allow, as it is. But one of the issues with the REST program is that there isn't guaranteed funding every year. So every year we have to go request funding for recommended projects. And I think some communities are hesitant to put the resources to applying for a program where there isn't a guarantee that any grants are going to be appropriated. And we, I mean, we've been very fortunate the past few years that we have had most of our recommended projects funded, but there was a period not too long ago where 3 years went by where there was no funding for the REC program. And when that happens, it really sort of kind of takes the energy away from the communities who want to apply because they do it once, they do it twice, and if nothing, if no grants get funded, they sort of feel like it's a waste of time. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a way to, you know, pursue having some sort of guarantee funding every year for grants, but I think that is a deterrent in applying right now.
The other thing I just thought of is, you know, the side is one of the gaps we're seeing, obviously, that data hasn't been reported in the past 10 years. I'm wondering if you could incentivize that funding and report it, you know, requirement. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're getting money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think a conversation with the statutes and regulations group is, I mean, a joint meeting would be good. I looked at their action worksheet and, you know, half the things do line up with ours. Right now it's mostly just the APA recommendations, or policy statements, and, you know, for instance, you know, it says BCE only used for statutory purposes, which is different than the conversation we've had so far. And not that we've wanted to undermine at all BCE, but we've looked at is there a role for, you know, leveraging that in some way to lower the cost of energy and kind of get to our intended purpose. But having those that conversation with that team or subcommittee, sorry, would be good. I do, I like the idea of, you know, could REF or, I mean, could a fund at AEA, you know, be less about new projects and more about, could be leveraged for, to access federal funding? Like, could you make the most of it, not for kind of standalone things, but where there's a federal project identified or potential funding, make that available for the match? Like that would really increase the amount of federal dollars and decrease kind of the state carry for energy projects.
Yeah, I mean, people do use it for match now, but because you don't have the guarantee of anything being funded, it doesn't get relied on as much. But I mean, I think if there was a little bit more consistency, it may be something that people go to. And match is becoming more and more important with some of these federal grants because the match really could prohibit someone from being able to apply and go for it.
Yeah.
So elevates your selection, you know, eligibility, right?
Yeah.
Competitiveness. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's interesting, too, if PTEs explore further, a potential guest speaker would be Steve Colt from APEP. And I think he wasn't present earlier today, but, you know, he's on that team, and I know he's leading a NSF-funded study on PCE and reanalyzing it. Earlier this year, we connected a couple of our companies to him to talk about the challenges they've experienced with PCE when they're trying to do projects in communities. And it is a hot-button issue, but, you know, ASAP has a history of, and ICER and others have a history of analyzing this program and providing some recommendations for improvement. And it's something that I know he's working on right now. And maybe there's even recommendations around, like, when renewable energy goes up, yeah, like, your PCE draw goes down, and that's going to be just incentive for communities. Like, thinking about the incentives that happen when these programs play together, REF and PCE, and, I mean, there's unintended consequences for sure. So,
Did you repeat his last name? Was it Colt or Colt?
C-O-L-T.
Yeah. Hey, are you familiar at all with CEPIA? Michael, maybe. Anyways, it's a federal, like a large, it's from the Build America Bureau. Like it's large loan programs at the federal level for transportation projects. But one of the things that I like about it is it's really low interest loans for a longer term than maybe is normal. And I think by by lower interest rate. I think it's half the federal rate. So it could be, I mean, not right now. I mean, right now it'd be like 2.5, but, and there's maybe 1% in prior years, which makes it interesting. I think, you know, as part of our conversation when it comes to incentives and subsidies and how to fund projects, you know, I think it'd be worth exploring, you know, is there a way to offer a loan program like that that makes capital more readily available, at really low rates? And the goal isn't to make money off of a loan program. The goal is to lower energy costs. I don't know. I just feel like we need, in my mind, like complementary mechanisms for funding projects and incentivizing or subsidizing efforts.
Is there
a Isaac, is capital actually, I mean, is, would that make a difference?
It would make a huge difference, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, having loans available at 4% or 5% would be a game changer on a lot of these projects. You know, I'm thinking of like solar and wind in particular, like big generation projects. I mean, that kind of debt would just bring a lot more of the projects into the money. So, yeah, it'd be a big deal.
We're not focusing on heating, right, on the committee. We're focusing on the cost of electricity, right?
Well, like it's keep there's like, I think the real belt there, they're considering that right now.
Okay. Yeah, and also being aware that PGE does not cover heating fuel and the cost of heating fuel, which is the majority of a household budget. Thinking about that. Another thing, I wrote a blog on, last year, got really into it, and talked about the cost of heating, all these great ideas sort of off the record of like how you could this program. Like making the application easier, you know, it's the same application for a feasibility study versus like project implementation. I mean, thinking about simple things like that, but also if this thinking that as renewable energy goes up and CCE payments go down, if the state is really trying to decrease diesel fuel use in communities and increase renewable generation as CCE is reduced, perhaps this state funding is reused for maintenance of the renewable asset, because that's really what happens. Where it needed as time goes on, and thinking about the other ancillary needs that happen with these projects and payments. It's one of them that was verbalized.
Yeah.
Michael, were you going to add something about the loan program?
I was just asking about, you know, the current infrastructure bank, and, you know, if one exists, and they offer low interest loans, if not competitive, are they certificate?
Yeah, I think we have failed at the Industrial Export Development Authority that has a loan mechanism for large, you know, infrastructure projects, and their rates are published. I think it's right now around 9 or 10%.
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but probably.
Yeah, order of magnitude.
Okay.
So yeah.
But it is like a green bank in Alaska.
I mean, that would be a recommendation number one, is pass that bill next session. It's like, if you want to be, subsidies and opportunities to residents. There's also the State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development has a division of investments, and they have an alternative energy loan program. That's the only one that's available.
Okay.
And
we at GE have a portal project loan fund, but it's not very well capitalized at the moment, but we have financed some renewable energy projects with that.
Okay. And some other states I've seen their infrastructure banks, kind of what Neil's saying was, wherever the loans is a very competitive, like the 1%.
I mean, I was pretty competitive. Right now we're at like 5%, but there's been times where it's been as low as 2 or 3. And the TPF loan program, you can actually request a lower interest rate if you're justifying that this would make the project financially feasible. So our rate published right now is 5%, but someone can come in and say, well, if you could do this loan at 2%, that would make my project feasible, and these are the benefits that we're bringing to the community. And it would be considered if that was wrong. But it's not very well capitalized. So that's the issue that we have right now. We're looking at potentially trying to recapitalize it because we have a lot of activity as of late. And I think one thing we're seeing is people are actually looking for kind of like interim financing, knowing that we're going to get tax incentives and tax rebates down the line, but they need the cash now to do projects. And how can you kind of have that float for a year or two until you get that money back? And there's really not a good mechanism for that right now.
I just want to add one more example. Washington State has, I think, a transportation loan fund. 0.5% is what it charges. Because the goal is lower cost infrastructure, right? It's not to make money. It's not to, I mean, I think with ADA, it spins off a return to the state. The state needs funds. So it's not to, there's no other purpose than to get low cost infrastructure in place. And I think when it comes to energy, if we keep that goal, like what produces low cost energy, then the lower that rate can be, the better, to a large extent. We should, look at the Green Bank, more specifically within this group. I don't know that it gets to those rates like we're talking about, but I guess my question is it's not a low cost bank. So it does bring equal lower cost energy would be the question that I would ask after dinner.
Then inviting someone from AHFC to speak to the bill and on the table right now that was introduced this year.
Yeah. That'd be a good presentation to run through.
I mean, that's the hope for this is for residents and individuals and funding or energy efficiency modernization. Targeted
consumers federal money. Well, it's easy to put that money and they attract private. Yeah.
That's true. After that, yeah. Isaac, are there other, like if we're trying to get to a short list of actions or, early recommendations to pursue further, anything you would add to that list?
I mean, there's a lot under taxes. I know specifically like renewable energy, utility scale generation, with the same tax structure as a utility is a...
like a nonprofit.
Is a request, yeah, it's like a nonprofit, so waiving taxes for utility scale generation. Right now they have to pay property taxes like anyone else, but they have the same treatment as a utility. They wouldn't, it would be a big deal.
It would be local property taxes. Being waived, but this is something else the legislature could act on at a statewide level.
Good, and that's essentially the question I was just here.
Yeah, it's on there, but I was just looking at top priority.
Okay.
If we're offering local tax breaks, then, and the legislation considered, then I would, want to make sure that, maybe tax reimbursement occurs, right, as part of that. So that if the state, for instance, is mandating or requiring local exemptions for, along those lines, and similar to other mandatory exemptions that it has, there's a reimbursement mechanism for those local governments. Is how that would. That's how I would see it. If you didn't have reimbursement, then it would be revenue, it would be neutral for the state, but you'd have, losses of revenue at the local level, which a lot of local governments, you then have public utilities and that they couldn't subsidize or otherwise, manage effectively. So you don't want to, there's probably some unintended consequences of local tax base that don't have some kind of corresponding measure to offset those revenue reductions. In my mind. But that's kind of like, that's from a local government perspective.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Mel down in Juneau advocating against it. So it's just
I think we talked about this on most of the commercial buildings, rebates, I think, yeah. Come up to the share of that. I mean, it doesn't have to be top priority, but it's going to capture it.
It's just loan program. I mean, even that sort of thing right now isn't available for commercial buildings, but residences can do an energy efficiency loan through HFC. So yeah, just it can even be types like a loan program or some sort of, you know, state tax incentive that serves commercial buildings.
C-PACER, C-PACE, now we write a C-PACER,
yeah,
that is active at least in Anchorage, which is that very thing, basically. They're out of pocket financing long-term.
Yeah, and expanding that definitely would help.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's recommended. This is more of a local, that's the legislature approved it as a local level assembly or borough thing where they are implemented, but certainly it seems like recommending that be expanded in the state is one of those low-hanging fruit options.
And commercially and then also residential or
something. Yeah, looking at our case. I mean, the challenge is C-PACE expanding that. I mean, Anchorage is really the home of a lot of commercial building stock, and expanding it other places doesn't have as large of an impact as demand.
I know Duff added quite a bit of stuff in here around transmission. So I don't know how this group wants to treat that. That's starting to get into like individual projects. I don't know if that's within the scope of this committee or this subcommittee.
I guess this is a terrible idea, and I don't know anything about transmission, but it sounds like the in-between infrastructure. In some nations, like that in-between infrastructure is state-owned, and that reduces the overall. Like somebody's responsible for generation, somebody's responsible for delivery, but that in-between infrastructure is publicly owned. I'll just note that. I'm not recommending it, and I don't know enough to do so. But, I mean, the question for me would, if that were to occur, would it bring down costs in some way?
Yeah, so do we want to make recommendations around the ERO, the Electricity Liability Organization, and that work here? That's within our scope, but...
Well, I'm a little ignorant of some of this, but I mean, is this federal or state what we're talking about? Because the way Duff has it written is federal.
Asking for federal
dollars.
Federal money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are federal, for sure.
Does this fit in another subcommittee? I mean, it just feels a little...
Duff isn't here and never was able to present this, so what I can do is if we have questions, I can just highlight it and pay attention to the next meeting. We can ask them to pay attention behind it.
Okay.
That sounds okay, that one?
That sounds good. Okay. So the tax incentive, state of Alaska income tax exemption on revenue produced by the investment in new generation and transmission. That makes it to the top of the list.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of my, I think I combined that with some of the Utah examples of tax credits.
Okay.
And when I go back and listen to this meeting, the meeting that's all, you know, put in the details, but for now, speaking at a high level.
Yeah. By the way, we don't have the ability to edit that, do we?
You do. If you log into the SharePoint site, how you want to go into it, and you can edit it. And then let me just show you this now. If you are editing it, if you click at the very top of the screen, go to version history, it's always saving different versions. So if someone modifies it or deletes something on accident, you can go back in time at any time to see the different versions.
Okay, so I think it's a Mac CSU.
Oh, this is a SharePoint file?
Yeah.
I think you just have to download it as a spreadsheet into the Google Drive. You're not doing a live file.
Are you being live file?
I don't have access to the SharePoint for any of this. I'm reading a lot of this for the first time. And you can add me here later.
Is this the SharePoint? I feel like I've missed that piece of information.
So, I can... Let me pull up the SharePoint site. It's actually an AEA SharePoint site. So okay. It's Jen in the help desk. I just emailed them and to add people. I don't have control over it.
Okay.
So.
Like where, like how do you access it? Like do you have a link that you're clicking on?
What's your email, Ken?
Hey, Val. At akenergyauthority.org. But I think I do have access. I just feel like I missed the conversation of where this information is.
Yeah. I'll put in the link. And then, Brittany, you're the one that typed that question, right?
Yeah. So I'm not on the task force, but I don't know if we, outside of the task force, have access to it. And if so, if it's possible to share a link, that would be great.
So it's password protected. I'm going to put the link in the chat. I don't think if you're outside the task force,
Brittany, isn't ASAP supporting though? You might have. I'll bet ASAP has access to it, and maybe they just need to get it to you.
Yeah, I'll ask that question. I haven't, we had heard about it, but we haven't seen access to it, so I'll ask.
Got it. Okay. Well, good. We're making progress. We all getting access to the SharePoint.
Yeah.
I have a question. Michael, you said a review of the state landscape for other states was done. Was that talked about yesterday and some ideas were generated from that about suggestions?
It was, and here, let me, I guess this is the danger of having a SharePoint site. So we, under resources, there was information posted. We went through and looked at other state energy master plans. We downloaded some of the most recent ones and ones that may be relevant to Alaska given their kind of geographic or social makeup. And then we have a separate Excel sheet. And this is, for all the subcommittees where we were tracking, I think we have a main tracking sheet too of the different plans. One green are the ones that we looked at.
And research library.
Yeah, so then we actually have, for all the plans, we identified the actions, how they categorize them, their framework, their language, just as a kind of a scan. And then we took up the first pass at updating the sheet here, identifying some policies, and that this is what was highlighted is in yellow, and what plan it comes from. What are some of the kind of incentive programs or subsidies identified in these plans?
That Alaska does not have.
We were silent to that, we were just doing a dragnet and then letting this committee decide if some of these are relevant. And this is more of kind of like our work. It's not necessarily a recommendation for the final plan. That's why I highlighted it as yellow. if appropriate, if you feel one of these lines inappropriate, we can start deleting them. Because this information is tracked in those other tracking sheets.
Alaska does have the weatherization and assistance program. That's administered through AGFCD. So that is funding that we currently do get.
Okay.
So you're in the Action Research Library or another spreadsheet?
So the one on screen, and thank you for the clarity on the weather. We were just noting that that's a trend.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all we were noting. That's both this information shows up in our kind of action worksheet, and then the research that we did with the Actions Research Library, that's in the resources folder that looks at other state plans. And if you don't have access to
the yellow one.
The yellow comes from the same sheet. So this has multiple tabs. That's why it's very comprehensive. Sorry, you need to see all of our work real time, so some of the danger of this.
So I see tracking sheet 2021 Washington State.
Yeah, that was
2021 Oklahoma, but I'm not seeing the yellow.
But so it was only coded yellow because that was the sheet that has the yellow highlights is the complete task force is action sheets. We just took information from the other sheet, put it here, just so for people's awareness. And
yeah.
All right, I think it sounds like we're kind of wrapped up, or I'm going to drop off, or are you feeling okay for reporting out this afternoon?
For the report out, is there a particular priority or a top five that we want to?
That's kind of the best practice that we're all agreeing top five. So I could just kind of give a quick summary of all this.
You can do a quick summary. You don't need top five. But if there's one that you want to highlight more than others.
The question on that spreadsheet, you're asking that this group review that to see like what is applicable in Alaska, what it's not, like, oh, we already have a weatherization program, we already have sweep pays. Do you want this group to review that? Or?
Yes, and at this point, I'm okay if you start deleting some of the lines that's not relevant or if you talked about it.
Okay.
You have full control over this spreadsheet. Feel free to edit it.
Okay. Cool. I think I can just go over this list that we have here and then I'll just brief the group on kind of where we are as a subcommittee, namely in a baselining brainstorming phase and we're just starting to winnow down. You know, we're starting to understand what we have available to us, what exists in the state, what else is out there, and starting to winnow down that master list of opportunities into a smaller list.
It is, and we've done the research of industry trends and practices across other state under your master plan as we identified kind of your top actions that you're evaluating at the moment, and then next steps are that some of the coordination meetings with other subcommittees. That's probably a great opportunity to discuss that with them.
Yeah.
And the task force.
Okay.
I think you're just that.
Great. Thanks. Made it easy. Hope so.
Yeah, just have it left right now.
Isaac, do you have anything else for me?
I think we're set. Did you just comment something? Just a second.
I just reiterated my three or so from earlier, so in case you need, but it should already be on the list.
Okay, that sounds good. Okay. Thanks.
Cool. Do we, Michael, next meeting?
I don't. So let me also show you this.
Okay. Isaac, did Monday at 8 a.m. work for you pretty well?
It's fine. Yeah.
Would I be happy to do like a weekly, pick an early morning, 8 a.m. I can't do 7 because I got to get the kids to school, but if that's an option coming up and for our planning, I would do that.
Yeah.
And to confirm what we'll do that?
At Monday at 8 a.m.
Okay.
One second, Michael's going to show us something here.
Yeah, I just wanted to show you that for, you know, the subcommittee meetings, this is where they're being kind of posted for public notice, the agenda, the audio. So if we do need to make adjustments to the meeting, that's where they're going to happen here. And then we've been talking to with Jen at AEA. I think she's been posting the meeting and then attaching the agenda to the meeting. And then for some of the subcommittees, there's been confusion of like getting the notice or not. The website is always where you check. I think we were going to recommend a follow-up email instead of just attaching agendas to the notifications. So I think it's causing people not to notice it.
I see.
But I don't know if that's been an issue with this group, but I just wanted to let you know.
Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. So we have to be eating lunch right now, George. Our homework.
Alright. Good luck everyone with your lunch. Thanks for this.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm going to do that spreadsheet to get your Michael, if you want us to go through and say, oh, we have that in Alaska. I can get Jennifer's work and I'm getting the Sherpoint site, so I will have that shortly. That'll be helpful for whenever you have stuff. But listen, this could be totally my fault. Am I missing something? Like, I didn't have an invite to this meeting.
Well, that's what's been happening. So that's why I wanted to go over this. Like, who's... So Michael Baker, we're kind of contracted to help facilitate this,
yeah.
But the info ad and the meetings also through Jen and the governor's office at that info ad, you know?
Okay.
So we were meeting with Curtis and Clay yesterday saying, like, do we need to send them, like, a second email? And I think we do.
Well, right now, like if I look at the schedule you just pulled up, there's no meeting scheduled for this committee. Yeah, no future meetings.
So we've been giving the co-chairs flexibility
of
whether they want to schedule in advance, and then we can just notice it all at once and not worry about it, or if we want to schedule, figure out the schedule at the end of the meeting, and then so we'll be as flexible as possible.
Right.
So
okay.
that's the reason for that.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure out the organizational structure. So I do feel like I'm missing little things right now that I should be.
You're on a few subcommittees.
No, I just look at Isaac's calendar and copy over his calendar invites.
I am on two subcommittees.
Yeah. So it changes
depending
on the coaches, how they want to run things.
That makes sense. Thank you.
I am just going to leave the meeting open in case someone's not on, but
you can end it. Yeah, I mean, technically it is over based on the timing, right?
It's over.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
It's 12:30 to 1.
Yeah, so it's just 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
But so once I have access to that sheet, I will start kind of going through it and... I see things that we have, or I can add any comments at all. And then if I start getting information, I'll start putting it out there for you and let you know.
Okay. Yeah. So we encourage people to just pay.
Yeah. It's a lot going on. Kind of figuring out flow of information right now.
Kirsten's out for 3 years today. And if you're from America, it's about these things where it's getting the higher. Companies. They are in the AUA and the Colorado. And they can walk over and then the police and we can go to
you have a quote. Mm-hmm. And these are pretty general, like, maybe for a company, they say it's allowed us to create 4,000 jobs, blah, 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 or like, so thinking about a quote, and John Powers, I guess, this is a triple spreadsheet of the new quotes that they will see in there, and Franklin Capital in there, but, you know, a lot of folks that I recognize you point. Yeah, so it looks like he's going to get some citizens. I was thinking about a quote that Max to drop something up.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Which is, yes, I'm here if you want to look at it. All right. It's just a secret, but,